Good evening. I'm Tom Hewitt here with a KUAC Newsminer update. Legislation calling for structured draws from Alaska's oil wealth fund to help pay for state government has passed the state Senate. Wednesday's 12-8 vote followed extended debate, some of which Governor Bill Walker watched from a Senate gallery. Walker supports using Alaska permanent fund earnings as part of a plan to address Alaska's multi-billion dollar deficit. He praised the Senate's action. The bill calls for draws based on a percentage of the fund's market value. Annual dividends Alaskans receive would be capped at $1,000 for 3 years, then based on a portion of the fund draw thereafter. The measure also seeks to limit future spending. Supporters see the use of fund earnings as unavoidable given the deficit, but criticism came from those who want more cuts to state spending first or who contend a more balanced fiscal plan is needed. The House is working on a permanent fund bill that also calls for an income tax, something Senate leaders have so far shown no interest in. Rural communities dependent on high-cost diesel fuel could get help from Harvard University graduate students. Zoe Sobel reports from Alaska's Energy Desk.
Harvard Law student Mike Maruka may sound like he's describing a spring break trip.
We also got to drive out to Seward and went skiing at Alyeska. And we managed to catch the Northern Lights last night.
We did.
Sort of. They were not very clear.
But he's actually in Alaska for a class that's looking for practical solutions to reduce the use of fossil fuels, especially in low-income, underserved communities. With Alaska in a multi-billion dollar hole, state funding, including a lot of grant money, has been slashed. Maruka thinks it's time for Alaskan communities to start looking for funding outside the state.
Private money, such as from a large company or from a university, might be able to, in some cases, step in to where public funds used to support such projects.
The team's goal is writing a proposal to reduce 50,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide a year. The value of that reduction measured in carbon credits could be sold to private companies looking to offset their own carbon footprints.
The innovation is here. All that we are looking into is a way that an outside player who might want to capitalize on carbon offsets might be able to fill a gap or make something happen that wouldn't otherwise occur.
By the way, Maruka says 50,000 tons of CO2 is the average total emissions for a community of 20 to 25,000 people for a year. But most communities in Alaska aren't that big, which Caroline Lauer, a student studying urban planning, says is one of the biggest challenges for the team.
The high benchmark has really forced us to be creative and figuring out how can we package a bunch of different innovative options together to maybe get as close to 50,000 as possible.
The team didn't have the chance to visit rural Alaska, but they were in Anchorage this month meeting with energy experts from across the state. One of those experts is Christopher Emmerich, the city administrator and clerk for the Aleutian community of False Pass, and he's totally on board with this project.
Oh, I think it's fantastic. Yeah, sounds like a wonderful idea.
False Pass is a 73-person community that runs on diesel, which is expensive. Emmerich says the city spends around $200,000 a year on it.
Cost of energy is paramount with these small communities for surviving into the future, especially as funding is getting cut. But they got to pay in like we do a quarter of a budget for diesel. That's not sustainable.
Since 2012, False Pass has been looking into tidal power, which would allow the community to be less reliant on diesel and more self-sufficient. But it comes with a hefty price tag, around $7 million, and the community can't foot the bill alone. Right now, the Harvard students are just working for course credit. They don't have any real funds to invest in rural Alaska. But that doesn't faze Emmerich. He's doing everything he can to make sure False Pass's energy projects are as ready as possible, just in case any outside financing comes along. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I'm Zoe Sobel in Unalaska.
Tanana Chiefs Conference Chief and Chairman Victor Joseph encouraged convention attendees to sign a petition Tuesday calling on Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan and Congressman Don Young to reject the House Republican leadership's American Health Care Act. Joseph later said the American Health Care Act had moving parts, and TCC delegates will talk about whether the petition will be submitted. Joseph listed some of his concerns with the proposed American Health Care Act, including the strong opposition from healthcare and consumer advocates, the Congressional Budget Office's projection that 14 million Americans could lose their health insurance in a year, with 24 million people losing health insurance within 5 years, and he said it could also penalize the elderly unfairly. When Senators Murkowski and Sullivan called into the convention via video conference, they were asked about the American Health Care Act. Murkowski said the expansion of Medicaid in this state helped the Alaska Native health care system, and keeping costs down in an expensive state is a significant priority. Murkowski said other priorities in fixing health care include addressing the instability or high costs of premiums. For more on tonight's stories and others, visit KUAC.org or Newsminer.com. I'm Tom Hewitt.